Yes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Oh, now through it all. Yes, through it all. I've learned to depend upon His Word. Now let's sing with all my heart. Oh, through it all. Yes, through. Trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Oh, through it all. Yes, through it all. I've learned to depend upon His Word. Now let's sing it again, everybody. Oh, through. Yes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus.
I've learned to trust in God.
Sing it one more time with everything you got. Oh, now through it all. Yes, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Oh, through it all. Yes, through. Amen. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? Isn't God good? Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. With all your heart. Oh, yes, now through it all. Yes, through.
Jesus.
Yes, we have.
I've learned He's the mighty God.
Oh, yes, now through it all. Through it all.
I've learned to depend upon His Word.
Hallelujah. And somebody said, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Oh, don't you love Him tonight? Isn't He good? If you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes, let's look at our prayer request. I want to remember Brother Doug McKinney. He has three blockages. We'll meet with the doctors next week to determine if he is able to have heart surgery or if they'll put in stents. So we would just pray for Brother Doug that the Lord would be mindful of him. I certainly appreciate him. I believe he's a real Christian brother, and we just want to commit him unto the Lord. If you would continue to remember John Hambrick in prayer. In the nursing home, that's my brother-in-law, very, very sick, very, very bad condition. Just remember him. Also, Beulah there in the nursing home with him. Also want to just, I wrote this down just on my mind, and certainly want to continue to remember Sister Carol Reagan's sister Sharon in prayer. She went through her bout with chemo, and hopefully and prayerfully that she is doing better. So let's continue to remember her as we pray tonight. Brother Tony Wheaton sends this in. My wife and I are trying to buy a home. Please pray that God will make this happen for us. If it's will, thank you, and may God bless. So we just commit that need unto the Lord. Want to pray for Brother Howard Collins. He had a pacemaker inserted, but is still having problems with pain in his chest. We'll be seeing a doctor on Monday. So we certainly want to remember Brother Howard, that the Lord would be with our brother. Brother Gene Terrell offers this wonderful testimony. I was having trouble getting up out of my chair. My knee was injured and very painful. Walking was also very difficult. I went up for prayer last Sunday, and on Monday I walked 45 minutes, went home and push mowed my yard, and have had no pain, difficulty of getting up out of my chair. Praise the Lord. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to pray for Sister Lona Harris. She is having flu-like symptoms for the last couple of days. So let's pray for our sister that the Lord would be with her. Brother Baker having some dental problems. She just can't get in to see a dentist for the next little while. So just pray that the Lord would help him. I want to pray for Sister Shirley Yance's mother, Sister Faith. She's not feeling well. We'll commit her unto the Lord. I want to continue to pray for Brother Curtis Hunnell. He's still in the hospital with pneumonia. He had a lung biopsy today, and it showed that he does not have cancer. So they want to praise the Lord for that. Thank God for that testimony tonight. Just continue to remember our brother in prayer. Urgent prayer request for a young married couple going through some serious problems. We'll just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Sister Carol Reagan sends this in to please pray for Courtney Babb and Erica Parker. Both are sick, unable to be in the service tonight, so pray for those sisters that the Lord would be with them. Brother Reese sends this in. I have a niece dying with cancer. She's only in her early 40s. He's asking that we would pray for her tonight. We'll remember Sister Mary Alice Hammond in prayer. She is getting really bad in the nursing home. Also remember James Elbert Ward that is in the nursing home. Both have Alzheimer's and really need prayer. So I want to remember those folks tonight. Precious people. And we just pray that the Lord would be with them. Sister Barbara Gerber sends us in to please remember Sister Ruth Anthony in prayer. She's having some physical problems, needs a touch from the Lord. So we just commit her unto the Lord tonight. Sister Martha Sacker says, thanks to everyone who prayed for Rick Nidifer. His heart surgery went well and he is doing good. So they want to praise the Lord for that. So we just commit that all unto the Lord tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. We just commit all these things unto the Lord. Let's sing that little chorus together one more time. Through it all, Brother Jackie Benton, if you'll come, get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight on behalf of these requests. Oh yes, now through it all. Trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Oh, through it all, yes, through it all. Say it, buddy, say it.
End up on His Word, aren't you glad? Oh, through it all. Through it all, learn to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, hallelujah. Oh, through it all, learn to depend upon. Pray. Lord Jesus, how true, Lord, that is tonight. We are trusting in You, Lord. We've learned to trust in You, to trust in Your Word. And Father, we come tonight, Lord, relying, Lord Jesus, upon Your strength, upon Your help, Lord, tonight, realizing that without You, we can do nothing. And Father, we pray tonight, Lord, for these requests that we hold in our hand. Urgent requests. Needs, O God, that only You, Lord, can come and meet tonight, Father. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You, Lord, will come and manifest Yourself tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, in behalf of these that are sick. In behalf of these that are suffering, O Lord. Hallelujah, the powers of the enemy that has come to destroy, to kill. Hallelujah, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that You'll come, Lord, tonight and vindicate Your Word. You said, I've come that You might have life. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But You have come tonight, Lord Jesus, to give us life. We know the enemy, Lord, wants to steal our victory. He wants to steal our health. He wants to steal our joy tonight. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord, come tonight and bind up the brokenhearted, set the captive free. Father, tonight we pray. We commit, Lord, this into your hands tonight, Father. I pray for the word that goes forth. Let it, Lord, sink into the hearts of the people. If there's lost among us tonight, may you come tonight. Convict the lost, O God. Fill tonight with the Holy Ghost and give us tonight a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Anoint your servant tonight, we pray. Father, to meet the needs of your people, we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May you receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. We give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And amen. And amen.
Jackie, love you, buddy. God bless you. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. Those that are streaming this service, may God richly bless those folks as well. Now, let me make this announcement, because no doubt this will probably pertain to just about everybody here. If not, 92% of us. All clothing that's on the rack out in the foyer will be removed after this weekend. Now, how many understands that? If you want it and it's yours, you've got till tomorrow to get it. It's going to be gone. Some of it's been there for a year. Some of you have outgrown it by now. I'm just kidding. I don't know about that. Gene Lehman wanted me to say that part of it. Also, there are several crock pots and containers that were left in the fellowship hall. Please check all items to make sure that nothing belongs to any of you before they are removed. Now, we're going to have a cleaning around here. Everything out there is going to be gone. So if it belongs to you, don't come in here next week saying somebody got my hat, somebody got my coat, somebody got my umbrella, because you don't know where it's going to go, but it will be gone. Now, everybody good with that? Yeah. Somebody say, I love you.
I love you.
I love you too. God bless you. Now, let's sing a song. Let's worship the Lord. It's going to be a good night to have been in the house of the Lord. Do you believe that? We are taking some very, very incredible journeys in the Word of the Lord. Places I have never ventured before. How about you? Do you love what we're hearing in the Lord? Isn't God good to you? Give Him another big hand clap of praise if you love Him. 10,000 years. Let's see if we can sing that tonight. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years, and we've just begun.
And the battle is over, and the victory won.
10,000 years, and we've just begun.
Sing that chorus again.
Oh, 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years, and we've just begun. Just begun.
Soon I'll come to the end of life's journey.
Hallelujah.
And I'll meet
we're gonna meet
who gave
all we've heard
his
about
life.
Him all of our life, Brother
Terry. I want to thank Him
just begun.
All our battles are over, and the victory won.
Oh, sweet victory won 10,000 years, and we've just begun. Now say it, buddy.
We will just begin to sing love's sweet story.
That's right.
It is
Hallelujah.
A song that holy angels,
thank you, Lord,
cannot sing. I've been,
oh, we've been redeemed, church,
by the blood.
Praise
of
the
my
Lord.
Precious Savior.
Praise the Lord.
And 10,000 years and more.
Time it's going to be. Let's sing one more little chorus tonight before I let you sit down. You're just singing too good tonight. I appreciate your input into this service. Let's sing a little song tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you has He brought a long ways? How many of you feel like He's got further to take you? How many of you feel like your ultimate goal is totally out of this world? Do you believe it with all your heart? Give Him another big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Yes, you brought me a mighty long way. Mighty long way. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Cause you brought me. Oh, you brought me a mighty long way. Well, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you brought me a mighty long way, a mighty long way. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Cause you brought me. Yes, you brought me a mighty long way.
Give me a verse of that song if you will.
You've been my mother, you've been my father.
Oh yes, you have.
You've been my sister, my brother too.
Oh,
you brought me.
Yes, oh, you brought me.
Mighty long way.
Thank you, Lord.
Mighty long way. You've been my mother.
Yes, you have.
You've been my father. You've been my sister. My brother,
oh, sing it to him, church.
You brought me, Lord.
He's brought us all, Brother Joe, a long way.
Long way.
Oh, now let's worship Him.
Way.
Well, I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord.
You brought me. Lord, you brought me a mighty long way.
Oh, a mighty long way. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Bless you tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a special tonight. Sister Cutts has a song for us. Then Brother Harry is going to give us a song after she sings tonight. So let's just enjoy our next couple of songs and we'll go right on into the service tonight.
while the
I'll spring this one on Joel like Louis sprung it on me. You better be instant, Joel.
While the world looks upon me as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. And a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
I know I'm not wealthy, these clothes they're not new. I don't That's all that matters. How I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
There's a roof up above me. Have a good place to sleep.
I have healthy children.
Food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. Have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. Have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. For your blessings on me.
Praise the Lord for so many wonderful blessings. Now you can tell the person who wrote that song was thinking more in the natural realm of shoes and a roof and food and clothes and all that. And that certainly is a lot to be thankful for. But we've got so much more to be thankful for than clothes, and we've got a church, a message. God sent us a prophet. We got on and on and on. Aren't you glad for all those things too? Amen. Let's turn to that, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you would. I'd like to speak to you tonight on take the rapture by the word.
Amen.
Take the rapture by the word. Now, I know you've heard Brother Branham say this, and we've preached it ourselves, and you've heard other ministers preach it and talk about taking the rapture by the word, but maybe the Lord will help us to be able to go into a little different angle of it tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now there are two Greek terms that are used to define the term we use in English, word, W-O-R-D. In the English language, there's one word that we describe it with, but in the Greek, actually, when the New Testament was written, there were two terms that were used to define the English word that we use, word. One of them is logos, and the other is rhema. Now here, Paul says, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. And this particular account is logos. The meaning of the word is this: saying, account, speech, or word. Embodies a conception of an idea, what is declared, a thought, the act of speaking, or the faculty of speech, skill, and practice in speaking. So this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, the thought, the concept, the faculty of speaking. It's actually a decree or also a mandate. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now it was actually a Greek philosopher, Heraclitus, first used this term logos around 600 B.C. Now, we think of logos as being only a spiritual term, but it's not. It was first spoken by a philosopher 600 years actually before Christ's birth. So it was not, every time you think of logos, it's not just a spiritual term or a spiritual application, but it is a term that was commonly used among the people in this day, which was a way of speaking, a term of defining this. Now, notice this, and Paul says in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now remember, we receive this by the word of the Lord, the logos of the Lord. So this is the way the rapture is going to be, in the form of logos. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these logoses. Comfort one another with these logoses. Now, in the rapture, Brother Bim says, to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It is revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for the revelation of the rapture. Now, she's not waiting for the logos of the rapture. She's already got that. We've had that for 2,000 years.
the Logos that would tell us and give us a pretty good idea of how the rapture would be. Because it says, this we say unto you by the Logos of God. So it gives us a pretty good description of a layout of the design of the rapture will be. So then the only thing Brother Branham could add to in this day and other messengers would be just to make that revelation a little bit more clear or add a little bit more Logos to it. So we're not waiting for another Logos to make the rapture real. But now listen what he says. The rapture is a revelation to her. Now revelation, Logos, is not revelation. Oh Lord, don't tell me y'all gonna be quiet already. Logos is what is written. The devil, lost, unbelievers, infidels, agnostics, have access to Logos. So the bride is not waiting for what is written, but it's a revelation. Now he says, the true bride will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation. Isn't it strange now? Brother Branham says you cannot have a revelation without it being faith. But yet many of the message folks identify what they call revelations as being doctrine, not faith. Uh-oh. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Now, that faith, that's where faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation, the whole entire body. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask your blessings on your word tonight, Father. Pray that you'd help us in a twofold manner. May the Logos and the Rhema, I pray, be tied together before us tonight, that we could see the person of the Lord Jesus himself. Grant it, dear God, I pray in Jesus' name. And the saints said, God bless you. You may be seated. Won't bother me at all now for the next few minutes as I'm laying the foundation that you're quiet and attentive. You want to listen. That's perfectly all right. Now, let you listen and I'll talk fast, but not so fast that you can't understand. Now, in the defining of God's word, God chose to reveal his persona, his character, all that he was. He chose to reveal it in the form of what we call the Word. But yet, in the Word is a twofold manner by which God chose to reveal that. Now, God would have made himself, his character, the entirety of his complete revelation in the form of that which was written. Then Satan would have had total access to the very program of God. He would have been able to read the program of God, understood the program of God, and therefore stopped or tried to at least hinder the program of God, because it would have been written down in letter form. So God chose a way by which he would reveal himself. Now he would call it, he would allow it to be called the Word, but yet God himself knew that in saying that it would come in a twofold way, in that it would be divided. So the Logos would be that part which would be written down. It would be declared, it would be a mandate, a decree, an order, but there would be another part of the Word which would be only kept and only given to those who were spiritually endowed and would have an ability to understand Rhema Word. Now, the lost have access to Logos. Satan has access to Logos. Demons, I mean, you know about anybody, any theologian has access to Logos. But yet, not to the Rhema. Now, God has a reason, of course, in doing it this way. And let me read you now the meanings of the words so you'll be able to understand this right off. The Word of God is compromise of the Logos and the Rhema word. Both are absolutely essential in furnishing us with the fullness of God's knowledge and will, both as individual believers and corporately in our churches. The Logos defined, notice now, the Logos word defines God in general concepts and ideas to give us the big picture of who God is. So now, many people spend years of their life, their entire walk with God, as far as that goes, they spend their entire experience of Christianity, and all they ever have access to is the Logos of God, which gives them a great big large overall view, or a great big large overall conception of what God is, of what they think the church is, of what they think the plan of redemption is about, heaven, hell, all these sort of things. And that's all they ever know about God, all of their entire existence on the earth, is just that Logos concept of God. And you know what? To be able to know that alone, I imagine that within itself would be quite a thing. But yet God has reserved another part of His being by which He chose to channel it in the realm of supernatural. Now, Logos, of course, is perceived by the intellect. So a person that would be able to sit down and read, and they could say, read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So they read that intellectually, and they say, well, I believe God sent His Son. So in their mind they think, now here's an old man up there in heaven, and then here's a younger sort of a fella that's used to sit in a little smaller throne over by God's right hand side, and then there's another person up there, I don't know if he had a throne or not, but he was called the Holy Ghost. Now God looked at this little boy of His, and He said, I want you to go down there and pay the price for all them wicked, sinful people. And I don't know who's going to believe you, but somebody's going to believe you. And you go down there and you give your life, and then whenever it's all said and done, then somehow there'll be a bunch of people saved. I don't know who they'll be, but there'll be a bunch of them saved. So then they perceive this in their mind, and then they give their heart to God, as they say. And then they start looking for a certain church to join. And then they think, well, you know, there's really no difference in churches. They're all really the same. And that truth, they are the same. As far as denominations, they are all the same. But they say, well, where's that go? So they talk to this person. Well, I'm a Methodist. Well, I think I'll go over here. I'm a Baptist. And they spent many years of their life looking and searching and going around. And yet they have a total, entire existence just in the Logos realm. Is that a wonderful realm? It is a wonderful realm to a degree. Now, it will make a Christian so-called. It would make even a church member, but it will never make elect. Amen. Now, listen, don't misunderstand me now and go to thinking I'm off the deep end. The Logos of God is a very, very important part, and it is an essential part of the way God chose to reveal His Word. But it is not the only part. Now, this is where, of course, theologians, they try to study, and message theologians are doing the same thing. And many message theologians, they spend years of their life studying the Logos. Now, whenever you and I type in on the table, and we're typing in and we do a search on the cloud, or we're doing a search on this or that or the other. Now, remember, the Logos is what is written. But Rhema is not that which is necessarily written, but it will go along with that which is written. Now, Logos actually defines the character of God, the character of the church, the plan of God in a great big picture. But, you know, God, for certain elect people, they're not just interested in generalities. They want to know more about particulars. Now, many nations in the time of Israel knew that there was a God in general, but the children of Israel had particulars declared to them. They worshiped God in certain colors, blues and scarlets and crimsons. And they knew that God was a God of the rainbow, that God actually wanted worship to be given back to Him through the spectrum to which light would actually hit a drop of water. And in that drop of water, it contained the colors of the rainbow. Now, a general conception of God would only look at the sun, and it would only look at the drop of water, and they'd never perceive the mystery that was contained in the drop, which could only be revealed by the sun hitting it in a certain way. Now, God, you know, people's perception of God in general be, well, there's a sun, and there's raindrops, and then we know there's a rainbow when the sun comes out. But other people have the ability to see the rainbow even when it's not necessarily raining, because they can look at a dewdrop and look at it in the right way, and they can see the same reflection in the dewdrop that they see when it's absolutely pouring the rain or whenever the rain ceases. So they understand that there is more about this great God that we love. Now, the people in generality, they knew there was a God somewhere. They made an image to him. They didn't know anything about his nature, his character. But here was Israel, a chosen nation out of all the rest of the nations, and they were worshiping God in particular ways. They were not worshiping God in general. So they were worshiping God in a particular structure, which was rectangular in size. It had three different dimensions or measurements or compartments. Each one of them was designated by a certain size, which come from the commandment of God to his prophet, given over to the people, and they worship God. They must approach God in these courts by a certain way. They must approach God in certain particular format by which God would accept the worship. Now, was it a whole lot more trouble? Yeah, it was. Was it a whole lot more difficult? It was. When other people out there just build an altar, throw this and that and the other together, they weren't particular about how they done it. They just believed they worshiped God. But these were God's chosen people, you see. So if they're going to worship God, they got to worship God by certain restrictions and certain codes. So they must come a certain way. Now, if you was a certain class of the children of Israel, you was only allowed in the outer court. If you was another class, you could go in the inner court. If you was another class, you could go in the first, second, and third court. So it was, even though it was by do's and don'ts and regulations, and you can and you can't, but yet it was the truth. Now, this is the way many folks preach Christianity. They preach, well, God don't care what you look like, God don't care what you do, you can drink a little, smoke a little, God don't care if you're homosexual, God don't even care anymore. Boy, God's in bad shape, ain't he? I mean, the way they preach God in this day and time, you'd think God's on dope or something. God don't care about nothing no more. Just as long as you do something, God don't even care. That ain't my God. God has always been particular. He's particular tonight, just like he always was. That's right. So people think it don't matter what you look like. It don't matter if you do this or you do that. Well, their perception of reading the Logos, that's the way they see God, because they get this overall large conception of God. But I don't want that conception of God. I want a God. I want to know God in his peculiarities. I want to know God in a particular way. Now, many of you know me, and you have known me for many, many, many years. But you don't really know me close. You don't know me intimately. Nobody knows me quite like my wife does, and then my daughters, and then my son-in-laws, and my grandchildren, my brother Harry, and Karen, and Justin. You know, and there's other ones that know me and know my makeup, and they know me the closer they are to me. They know me the more they know me. But yeah, you come and you know me, but how do most of you know me? From right here. You don't know me as a man. You don't know if I lie. Is he a jokester? Is he live? Does he not lie? Is he serious? Does he scare people to death? You don't really know. That's why you come in and talk to me. You say, because you don't know what you're fixing to get into. But you realize then, the more you know about me, those of you know me, then you know I'm not a mean guy. I preach mean sometimes, and I may act like I'm mean, but I'm not mean at all. Now, for those of you that know me, you don't fear me that way none, because you know I'm not that way. So it's the same way with God, that whenever we approach God by the way we know him is the way we come into his courts and into his presence. So you can imagine then what the preachers of this day are going to answer to God in the way that they have presented God to the people. So the people come to church in shorts. They come to church in halter tops. They come to church with a cup of coffee in their hand, and they sit there in the sanctuary while this, you know, this radical reform preacher standing up here, so disrespectful to God, and he's the one convincing them. God don't mind if you come to church in a halter top. God don't want you seen hardly nowhere in a halter top. Come on, God don't want you in Walmart and one, and Lowe's and one. Come on, children. God don't want you coming to his house sitting there eating an apple pie and a cup of coffee. God demands respect. But who is it that has done this? Much of it is the preachers, because they preach this overall view of the Logos of God. Now, does the Bible tell us we shouldn't drink coffee in church? It don't. Does the Bible tell us a woman should not wear a bikini in church? It don't. But our deacons will tell you if you do wear one. You will be told. Now, this overall conception of God, you'll miss so much of the personality of God, because that's the way he designed it. He designed to where the Logos would give the average reader an overall view and an overall conception of God. Now, it's like the sower sowing the seed. It's like the man throwing the net. It's like the fisherman going out and catching. Now, they're going to sing and they're going to catch certain ones. So the general view of God, we sow the great big gospel net, the general view of God, the conception of God, and many will come, and boy, they'll climb inside the boat. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And then as you become more particular, and you go to giving them descriptions and certain sizes and certain colors and certain requirements and all that, you know, they jump overboard. I'm out of here. I can't take that. This is too legal for me. Isn't it amazing what many folks call legal, we call approach? It's amazing how people are getting so tired. This message is bondage. It ain't bondage to a real believer. It's liberty to a real child of God. Oh my, God has a protocol like anybody else of a person of, you know, that you'd approach. There's a right way to do it. So God decided to reveal himself in the form of his word, that he would divide this word into increments by which the average person would be able to read it. Now, are we to discard the Logos as the elect of God? Of course not. But we need both parts. But you see, many, many Christians do not even realize that the word is revealed in another form of other than Logos. So the Logos gives the big picture of God. But notice this now. The Rhema word is a moment-to-moment portion of the Logos uttered by the voice of God's Spirit and tailor-made to equip us with God's commands, guidance, and the fulfillment of our needs and according to our specific circumstance. Oh, glory to God. Can't you see what Rhema is? Rhema is the now word. Rhema is the right now word. Have you ever been reading the Bible or reading the Message, and all of a sudden, boy, you're just praying, God, you know what I need, God. Oh, God, please speak to me. And all of a sudden, a scripture just jumps right out to you. You know what happened? The Rhema of God jumped right out of the Logos. Now, are we to read the Logos? Yes. You know, friend, you realize that more often than not, you'll read the Logos and you'll read the Logos and it encourages you and you enjoy it and it's wonderful and you'll read it again and again and again. But how many times? And oh my, maybe something that stuck out to you that everybody else said, yeah, that was okay, but I mean, didn't really mean that much to me. And you're about to have a fit. You're about to have a spell. You know why? Because out of that Logos come Rhema to you. Now, that don't mean just because it did it to you that it did to everybody around you. But yet it becomes so real to you because it was custom tailored to fit exactly what you were dealing with. Can't you see why we need to go to church? We do not need just to come together and read the Logos. It's not enough to stay home and play Logos on the tapes. But we need to hear Rhema. Rhema, moment to moment, that describes where we are right now, not 1956. Now watch this. The Logos comes from the Greek language and it means word in general. A longer definition includes thoughts, principles, or speech. Now, you know, God himself uses these words. But Rhema is translated from Greek into English to mean word. But a Rhema word is different from just the written words of the Bible. Christian may have prayed about a particular issue. And oh, how I love it when the Holy Ghost can take that word and make it real. Now you realize, take people around the Message, they have no access to Rhema. They don't believe in Rhema. Because they've got to have a page and paragraph. So if you're praying about a certain thing and there's no quote that describes your situation, you're in a mess. Now you may type it in on the table and look, you know, it's okay for me to do this or that or the other. Should I do this? And you find no quote. Well, you're fixed because you have no quote. But if you believe Rhema, even though there's not a quote that describes your particular situation, or there may not even be a scripture in the Bible that defines it to the T, but yet you still have access to the voice of God. Oh my. Now, the Logos then is the entirety of the written word. So, does that also take in the tapes and the books of the message of the hour? Certainly. We know that the word of God is on those books and those tapes, and we thank God for every one of them. How we appreciate him so much. But yet, if the Bible itself was the written Logos of God, and it was not enough. Now, if the Logos was all that we needed in order to produce a bride, then what God would have done would have set up a printing press. He would have allowed the printing press to have been invented in the first century. He would have allowed tape players, MP3, satellite, internet, all that sort of thing, to not been invented in our century, but in the first century. And therefore, they would have printed them off, given them to everybody. Everybody had been walking around Jerusalem with PDAs and laptops and Apples, iPhones, and this and that and the other. Because the same God who allowed them to break into it in this day could have just sped it up and broke into it in the first century. But instead, what did God do? God started out his format of dealing with the two aspects of his word through his gifted ministry in Ephesians 4:11. Right. Now, God would give them the Logos. But remember now, the Logos, the written word, was not even given to the early church. Historians say that the first book of the New Testament that was actually written was the book of James, around 60 A.D. So almost 30 years after the birth of the church, before they ever have any written Logos. What did they preach? Rhema. In Rhema is power. In Logos, the letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. Now remember, we take the rapture by the word. But which part? Now, if God so designed the word to come this way, then it must be important to God. Wouldn't you agree with that? So if it's important to God, don't you think it's important to us to try to understand this principle of God? So then Rhema would differ from Logos because the Rhema can be so particular about your definite situation that you were totally convinced that sermon was just for you. And yet hundreds of people that were sitting there with you, and maybe not all of them, but a great majority of them, I get so amazed as I'll see each one of you after church and, you know, talk to you, shake in, whatever, and on the interviews. Oh, Brother Donnie, thank you so much for following the Lord. That was just for me. You know, when you said so-and-so, that was just for me. Well, I get an email from Norway, and then I get one from Canada, then I get one from Whitehorse, and then I get one from Zambia, and I get one from Zimbabwe, and I get from, you know, you said that, God had you to say that just for me. I just laugh, you know, because I know that's my daddy. He specializes in Rhema. Now, he's able to make a minister of the gospel. Now, you see, friend, a tape player cannot do this. Now, not saying that you cannot listen to a tape and the same tape you've heard 500 times and all of a sudden you really hear that tape. You know what that is? That's Rhema coming off of that Logos. But it still takes the Holy Ghost to do it because that tape will not do it itself. This Bible cannot become Rhema on its own. This Bible cannot quicken itself. It takes the Holy Ghost to quicken this word. Can't you see why? Why would God do that? He divided power from Logos. Separated dunamis from Logos. And united dunamis with Rhema. If he would have put dunamis with Logos, Satan would have had access to the dunamis of God. So Satan could have created, which is what he's always wanted to do. But God wouldn't let him. Aren't you glad as a Christian you can create? Glory. Now, each day of our lives, each week, each month, you know how we're living in a day that's never quite been before. And friends, to be honest, we're dealing with issues in our life and in our church and in the message of the hour and politics and everywhere all around us. We're dealing with issues that have not been definitely described in the written word. We are dealing with things that will call it perilous times. It will call it times of trouble. But that within itself covers a pretty broad spectrum. Now, this is where the Logos then would say, well, you know, it's perilous times. It's a time of trouble like never was and never shall be again. Well, my, that can cover so many things. But yet a man of God anointed by the Holy Ghost will have the ability to go into that Logos and be able to bring out of that description, that very broad description of troublesome times, and begin to name your particular situation under the anointing of Rhema, and you're sitting there and saying, Lord God, that's what I prayed about before I come to church. That's what me and my wife talked about sitting out there in the car before we come in the church tonight. Don't you understand what that is? That's not Logos. It's Rhema. Can't you see why Satan hates the live ministry around this message? He knows people will never take a rapture by Logos alone. Glory! Hallelujah! So Rhema word is a now word for right now. Spoken from God to you. Do you understand? One Rhema word can change your life. And you can memorize the Logos and have thousands of them in your head. And it won't do it. Like one Rhema word. Don't you see what he did? He separated the dynamite from the Logos. Dynamite sets the Logos on fire. And when it does, it changes it to Rhema. Oh, glory. Now, let's look at a few examples here in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Logos isn't just a reference to God's words, but it's also the words of men and the words of angels, actually. Matthew 5:37, let your communication. Now look how different the English word is. This is actually Logos in the Greek. Now our English translators chose the word communication. But when Jesus said this, he didn't say let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Jesus said let your Logos be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Now notice this, so Logos, had we been living in the first century, it would have been a very common term among the people. It was not just a spiritual application used for a term. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account. Logos. They shall give Logos thereof in the day of judgment. Now do you understand? Those who live only by Logos, Logos will judge them. Those who live not only by Logos, but under the power of Rhema, they have passed from death unto life and there is no judgment. How would you like to meet your words? How would you like to meet your failures, your shortcomings? You imagine those who live by Logos, they will be judged by Logos. Well, glory. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy Logoses shalt thou be justified, and by thy Logoses shalt thou be condemned. Now these are those who live just by word alone now. Now watch, when Jesus was raised from the dead and they paid money to the guards to tell them, you know, that it was the disciples come and stole them away. Remember that in the scripture? In Matthew 28:15, so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this Logos saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. So here, Logos is a thought or a concept or a mandate. It's not just a spiritual term only. So this Logos was taught among the Jews that Jesus' disciples come and robbed him from the grave. So they believe that Logos. You see, false doctrine is also Logos. Praise the Lord. When the leper was cleansed in Mark chapter 1 verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him forthwith, now notice, send him away. And saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the Logos, the matter. So he began to blaze abroad the Logos. He could spread Logos, but he couldn't spread Rhema. You understand rumors and gossip are Logos? Of course, I know nobody here does that, but it's for some of them old sorry people that listen to the internet. Why, our saints here, they have got some of the most sanctified tongues, I'll tell you, of anybody in the message. Forgive me for lying, Lord Jesus. Y'all just sitting there looking so innocent. You ain't fooling me. Now watch the value of Logos. Mark 7:28. And she answered and said unto him, yea, Lord, the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this Logos, go thy way. Now this is not a mandate from God's mind. But this was this woman's word. Jesus says, because you have said the right Logos. I'll tell you, friends, it's important what we say and how we say it. Now you imagine Jesus didn't say, because I said in this in the word and you believe the word, but because you said this, you chose the right Logos. Your daughter will be healed because you said this the right way. For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Why? Because this woman, Brother Jim, had the right mandate, the right decree. She took her faculty of speech and focused in the right direction. She had no scripture to back it up. She had no word promise nor no rhema from God. But something must have struck this woman. And Jesus says, because of this Logos, your daughter is well. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice now, it's also the words of angels, Logos is. When the angel comes to Zacharias, the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed. Remember, he doubted. Question the angel. Because thou believest not my Logoses, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now the same angel comes to Mary, Luke 1:28. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his Logos. It's a decree of God. It's a mandate. It's an order of the day. But it took more than Logos to bring it to pass. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Luke chapter 12 verse 10. Whosoever shall speak a word, Logos, against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. So here Logos covers the language of men, angels, and God. Luke 24:17, and he said to them, what manner of communication on the two to Emmaus? What manner of logoses are these that you have one to another and you walk and are so sad? So they were exchanging logos. And in that logos was sadness, depression, sorrow. St. John chapter 4 verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the logos of the woman. Now the woman at the well went back to Samaria and told the men of the city what the Lord Jesus had done for her. Now she becomes a carrier. She speaks out. And because of the logos out of this woman, the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So now she becomes a witness and she's spreading the logos. Glory. Acts 15:24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with logoses, subverting your souls. Can't you see how the logos can become false doctrine? Subverting your souls. But you see, Rhema can't become false doctrine. Because the Holy Ghost never lies. Now the written word don't lie either, but men that are not converted can take logos and put it together and paint a picture before you that is absolutely false. And they're saying, logos, 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 logos. But if you've got the rhema, when you're sitting there listening to it, that rhema will speak up and say, that ain't the truth. Glory! Glory! Notice, and when it was day, the magistrate sent sergeants. Now they beat Paul and them in jail. Locked him up. He said, let these men go. And the keeper of the prison told this logos to Paul. So here these sorry magistrates had the ability to speak logos. Because it was their decree. It was their mandate. But it didn't have no soul deliverance in it. You understand? You see where I'm going? Now watch. Then in 1 Corinthians 14:19. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 logoses with my understanding. Then by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 logoses in an unknown tongue. So logos can be in the known tongue or in an unknown tongue. 2 Corinthians 11:6. But though I be rude in logos, speech, yet not in knowledge. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt logos proceed out of your mouth. Now you see how the English uses this word and that word and that word. But if you'd spoke the Greek language, it had such uniformity in that day. You could have seen the logos flowing from, then you would have understood more clearly. That's why some of you are struggling right now. Because all of your life, you've heard logos was supernatural, spiritual. You just can't believe what I'm reading to you is the truth. You're really struggling. But keep coming on. You'll get better. This is not words I'm making a friend. Oh, Brother Donnie, how did you find them? Very easy. Very easy. Let me tell you how. Go to John 1:1 and you type in the beginning was the word. Word was God. And word was God. Go to that word in the Strong's Concordance. Your table's got it. You can go to the Voice of God website if you don't have it. Go right there and click on that word, word. It'll bring you up to the Strong's Concordance. The Strong's Concordance then will have a number. It will have this word logos. It will then give you the meaning. Then you can also click on that number right there and it will give you every other scripture in the New Testament where the word logos is used. Really very simple. But it is our language that has subverted the use. So we think, well then, logos is all divine and all spiritual. No, not necessarily. So God knew this, so God separates logos from rhema. Notice this in Ephesians 5:6. Let no man deceive you with vain logos. Well, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. 2 Timothy 2:16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their logos will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now, can you imagine logos being like a cancer? Not the logos of God now. the logos of man. So if man can speak by logos and use his words, his thought, his decree, then cannot man, can't you see the affinity that man associates of his own logos with this logos? So then man, by his reasoning, Brother Jim, knowing how to pronounce words, knowing how to put things together, then man reads this Bible, man reads the message, and with his logos, he unites that logos with this logos. And then if he leans a certain way, he'll take all them quotes that justifies what he believes, but he won't believe those other quotes that seemingly goes the opposite way. So then that man will line his logos up with this logos, and anybody that ain't preaching what he's preaching, bless God, they're going to hell. And they're not bright. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know what God will do? God will go right on revealing his word. People get hung up in logos. Don't you understand the Trinitarian theologians? They are hung up in Matthew 28:19. They're stuck right there. Now you imagine when Peter stood there on the day of Pentecost, knowing what Jesus had said, go baptize, make disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then these men said, men and brethren, what must we do? Now here stands Peter. Peter, be careful what you're going to say, boy. You better watch what you're going to say. They're going to check you by the word. Men and brethren, what must we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost? That was logos, but Acts 2:38 was the rhema revelation. Oh, glory! You see it! Acts 2:38 was the rhema understanding of Matthew 28:19. Glory to God! Glory to God! Why didn't Peter stand there and repeat them titles? He was saying in the rhema form of what Jesus said in logos. People say, well, I'd rather do what Jesus said than Peter said. I know they said that because I used to say it. Oh yeah, when I was a Trinitarian, Brother Skip, that's what I said. I used to defend the Trinitarian, glory to God. I'd stand right there, boy, I'd rather do what Jesus said than Peter said. I was a knot-headed numbskull. But thank God I had a gene on the inside that God was able to birth by his word. And then once I saw it, I can baptize you in this pool in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and use Matthew 28:19 as my text. Why? Because I've got the rhema format. Amen. Acts 2:38 is not just logos to me. I have become the fulfillment of that Acts 2:38. Haven't you? What's this? John speaking of Diotrephes. 3 John chapter 1 verse 10. Wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth prating against us with malicious logos. And not content thereof, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Diotrephes, typical message guy without the Holy Ghost, sounds like. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Now watch Jesus, how he breaks down the gospel. Therefore, whosoever heareth these logos of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Now notice, it is not just receiving the logos that determines the outcome. And it's not because one of these individuals is a human and the other one is a bear and the other one is a pig and the other one's a bird and they react differently. No, it's humans. But the difference is actually in the human. It's not that they're hearing different logos. They are hearing the same logos. But notice the difference in this man. Now, therefore, whosoever heareth these logos of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. You know, wise virgin going in the rapture and all that. Wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon... So it wasn't founded on the logos? Now listen carefully, children. Oh, you're getting scared. Some of you done tore the bark off the pew sitting there by you. Now these are Jesus' words, not mine. Now, if any man will hear these sayings of mine, these logoses of mine, and then that man will take the logos, and then it's what the man does and where the man puts it that will make sure the man is secure. Now, it's not that this man is hearing a different message, a different word than the other guy, but they apply it different and they go about it in a different way. And when this man will do this, he will receive the Logos of God, then he will take that Logos and he knows what to do. He wants to build a church, a house, a walk, a relationship with God. And he knows it must have a foundation. You can't take 2x6s, 2x4s and sheetrock and all that sort of thing and pile it up on a sandbar. It's going to sink on you. So you gotta have a foundation. What is that foundation? What is Christ's way of making himself known to the church? A rock. Revelation. Glory to God. Amen. Now notice it. Verse 27. And the rain descended and the floods came. My. Now notice the difference in this guy and the other guy. Verse 26. Excuse me. And everyone that heareth these logos of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish virgin. A foolish man. Which built his house upon the sand. Now notice the sayings are not different. They went to the same church, as it were. Read the same logos. Listened to the same tapes. But it's what they done with the logos. Now, so the one man takes the logos and he goes to the right beginning. And he builds upon a rock. Another man, here's the logos. God said this, God said that, God said that. The prophet of God said this, prophet of God said that. But instead of really coming clean, trying to get everything out, he'll go right, immediately. Oh, I've got to build a house. Oh, my, I've got to hurry. I've got to get this thing. Let's start up right here. It's a sandbar. It won't last. Oh, it's all right. Oh, my, time's too soon. It's going to be over. It's going to pass. It don't matter. Hurry. You better slow down. I'd rather be a slow Christian and get there than be a fast one and perish. So this man throws all the quotes together. Oh my, he gets everything, gets rid of his television, gets rid of the, oh glory to God. Hallelujah, loudest one in the church, runs all over her, screams, shouts, hollers, his carries on the office, ever was, but can't take correction. So he throws his house up. Man, 2 days time, there he is. Brother Amos, beautiful house. This other guy over here in the rock, he's still digging the footer. Man alive, hit that old footer and that, you know, all of his tools bounced back and a sledgehammer had to go down to the hardware store and get a chisel. Man alive, oh, this is so-so. And the other guy said, hey, man, you're so-so. What in the world's the matter with you? You better hurry up and come over to my house. I'll tell you one thing, you better hurry up or the flood's fixing to come. Imagine just looking at him and saying, you're getting on my nerves. So he just kept hitting and hammering and sledgehammering and whatever more. Finally got him a good spot out through there. And he started laying. The old guy come around and said, ain't you coming along? You mean you're no deeper in the message than that? Oh my goodness, I'll tell you one thing. You ought to just come on there. Revelation after revelation I'm getting. My house is already done. After you've run over a shot and glory to God, hallelujah. My house has already been up for so long. Really? Why don't you go enjoy it? And then the next thing you know, this website comes up. Storm clouds are passing over, raising all kinds of questions in people's minds. So the rain started pounding on this guy's house. And he started reading and said, oh my, they can't explain how the cloud was this. Oh no. And then he hears thunder and lightning. He's scared of lightning and thunder. Oh my goodness. This other guy just got his house completed just the day of the rapture. Took him a long time, but man, I'll tell you one thing. He's glad he went low and slow and got her built right. Oh my, the rain started coming, the thunder and the lightning and the storms and the flood got up. And this old boy never even took into calculation that if you don't have a revelation of this word, if it's not really revealed to you, upon this rock I will build my church, then God himself will allow storm clouds to pass through. God will allow websites. God will allow malicious words. God will allow all those things, but it won't move the elected, friends. Why? They are built upon a rock. They actually have a rock in themselves. I'm going to tell you something tonight. My experience is not built upon Brother Branham. My experience ain't built on none of you folks. My experience ain't built on this church. Hold tight. My experience with God, my revelation, this message, is not built upon the infallibility of Brother Branham because he wasn't infallible. God never had an infallible prophet. You know why? He didn't need none. We got an infallible God. God wants to take an infallible word, preach it through a fallible man, makes it even more miraculous. Ain't never been a pastor infallible. Ain't never been a prophet infallible. Ain't never been an apostle. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. God don't need infallible men. He's infallible himself. That's the miracle. If I was an infallible man and never made one mistake, can you imagine this building? We'd have to have a building colossal size on this hill. But you know what? God fails that word in humans, and they'll say things wrong and get dates mixed up and get that mixed up. All people say, oh, a bunch of trash and nonsense. If they can't get this right, then I wouldn't listen to them. Go ahead. That's what you are. But we're founded upon a rock. I'm not looking at dates. I'm not looking at times. I'm not looking at this and that and the other. I'm looking at the person Christ. I'm not following the words of a Kentuckian. I hear Jesus through this message. Well, I'll tell you one thing now, Brother Donnie. If Brother Branham wasn't totally infallible, I can't follow. I can't follow no man. No prophet of God. No prophet of God that'd make a mistake. Really? Good thing you didn't live in the days of Jacob. Joseph's brothers killed an animal and put it all over his coat of many colors. Sold their brother down into slavery. And they brought that coat back to their father and said, we found this on the road. Is this your son's? And Jacob looked at him. It's my son's. An animal has killed him. Not true. And he also said, I will go to my grave mourning him. Not true. And God let him believe it. God let him stay down there all them years and bear that grief, Brother Jim, and cry and moan and wail and carry on the office every while. You say, why would God do that? You know what he'd have done if he'd known he's down in Egypt and went down there and got him. And he'd have messed up the whole program of God. So God held that prophet there in that element of darkness. And yet if you'd been there in that age and you'd found out that he lived, and you would have retraced what he said then compared to here he is embracing Joseph. And you said, he's a false prophet. Well. Excuse me just a moment. Now, let me tell you something. Anytime you want to fight, you just come on, old boy. You want to fight with this Logos? Perfectly fine with me because I got one up on you. I got Rhema, too. Glory. Come on, children. You imagine Joshua, your commander-in-chief, fixing to place you in the land. And some people right next door to you come over and put on old clothes and old shoes. And old molded bread and old molded wine and all that. And they come over and said, we travel from a far country. Our people heard your God was a mighty God. And our father sent us here to make a covenant. Where are you from? We're from a far country. And the Bible says they never took counsel of the Lord. The man that's fixing to place you in your country, in your city, in your town, did not seek counsel of God and made a covenant with the men of Gibeah, and then they found out in a few days they was just right across the hill over in Unicoi. Now, could you have walked up before this man and said, now tell me, man of God, what does God tell you I'm supposed to do? Well, glory. Don't you see why you don't need a perfect pastor? You wouldn't fit. Why would God send you a perfect pastor for you bunch of knotheads? Why would God send a perfect pastor for you folks that make mistakes and fall short of the glory of God? So what did God do? Send you a pastor just like you. Amen. Why God didn't send us a prophet that never said things wrong and never... Come on, children. He sent us a prophet just like us, Brother Rob. Everyone that hears these logos of mine and doeth some not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now, isn't it amazing? He receives them, but he don't do them. Now, it's not that he just said, I don't even believe them. No. That wasn't what he done. He went ahead and built a house. He didn't walk away and say, oh, there's nothing to this. A bunch of nonsense. He heard them, but he didn't do it according to instructions. He says, this is wasting my time. It's way too hot out here. Why do I have to build this house in the summertime anyway? It's way too hot. This don't even make sense. I can throw this thing up a lot faster. You know, I was reading this morning that they say, scientists and these people deal in computers, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but they actually have a printer. A printer that shoots polymer. And it can build a wrench. A wrench or a screwdriver or a hammer. You've seen probably the different ones if you've seen. A three-dimensional type printer. And you can print it out and it will actually print this thing in this printer. And you can use this tool. And I was reading this morning where the guy said that in a few years, they'll be able to take a printer and set it up on a job site and print you a house. With a concrete foundation and concrete strats going across it, and it will totally come out of a printer. 3D. Y'all looking like I did when I read this one. Really? You carpenter brothers might have to buy you up a couple of printers and get rid of your hammers. Now, friends, you think what you want, but if they're breaking into doing such things, you've probably seen that video, I think it's on YouTube, somebody sent it to me some time ago, and they actually go into this spot and they print out a crescent wrench out of a printer. And the man takes and looses a bolt, and yet it's out of a polymer type of thing, but it actually comes out of a printer tray. And if they are coming, oh Lord, if they are coming into things to where they're able to take a substance and make another substance out of it, how close are we to the change? And you imagine Brother Branham would never dreamed of such a thing being in this day, but look how much closer it is. Made out of something which does not appear. Oh my. And yet it's put out in a diagram and they send the software on the computer and it sends it to the printer. And there it begins to print back and forth, back and forth. And they reach down inside these little tiny particles of polymer and pull out this what we call an adjustable wrench. And they take that wrench and take a bolt off and fix a plumbing pipe and all kinds of stuff. And it originated from a printer. No wonder God said for whom he did foreknow. He did previously mark out copies of the likeness of the Son of himself. Glory to God. We're not out of a 3D printer. Brother, we're out of the printer of God, the copier of God. Amen. Notice the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these logoses, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Matthew 8:16, and when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his logos and healed all that were sick. Matthew 13:19. And when anyone heareth the logos of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received seed in the stony places, the same as he that hears the logos and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath no root in himself. Uh-oh. So they're hearing the same logos, but this one class of people have no root, which is the beginning. Have no root in themselves. So they're receiving something which is exterior from themselves. What they're receiving is not what they are by root, by nature. Notice this. Oh my. Here is the word. Now he had no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation, persecution arise because of the logos, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the Logos and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Logos. Why? The Logos has no dunamis. God separated dunamis from Logos. And God put dunamis with Rhema. So a person can hear Logos, quote Logos, talk Logos, love Logos, and still fall. Notice this. Now notice, is the Logos powerful? Sure. But when it comes to humans, it must be mixed with faith or it's powerless. The care of the world, the deceitfulness of riches choke the Logos and they become unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the... Oh my goodness. So the difference is not actually the seed, but the ground itself. Stony places, by the wayside, among the thorns. But this ground was good ground. How could there be good human beings? How could one human be better than another and be called good? But Jesus puts a classification upon the type of dirt. Some he calls rock, some he calls among thorns, and others he calls good dirt. Hope I'm preaching to some good dirt bags tonight. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the Logos and understandeth. Look at this. Oh, I about had a spell today when I found this. Look at the meaning of this word. Now close. Understandeth. To set or bring together, to put, as it were, the perception with the thing perceived. Lord have mercy. He that is the good ground, and when he hears the Logos, he understands what he's heard, and he, oh my, to put, as it were, the perception with the thing perceived. So he perceives what is being said, and in his mind there is a union, because he perceives, I got it. I got what he was saying. And when he got what he was saying, it mixed with what was being said. Glory to God. And then a union took place. Now this is the good ground. The man that hears the Logos and he understands. There ain't no way that could be right. That don't even make sense. Of course it don't. God don't operate by our sense book. It's not even logical. God don't operate by logic. God operates by his own character and his ways way much higher than ours. But a person that's got good ground, they sit there and they hear, say, Lord, help me. Please help me, Jesus. Help me to get myself out of the way. And then there they are, good ground. Here comes the Logos, falls right down. And all of a sudden that good ground just opens up and goes, pulls that seed right down that good ground heart. Then all of a sudden, understanding just pours over that seed. And begins to warm that earth. Oh. And then the thing perceived becomes joined together with that object which is perceiving from. And Jesus says he's a good ground. Amen. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the Logos and understandeth, to put as it were the perception with the thing perceived, to set or join together in the mind. Which also bear fruit. And bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let's stand again. What's this example of this parable here? This is the rich young ruler, Matthew 19:21. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come follow me. But when the young man heard that Logos saying, he went away sorrowful. For he had
great possessions. Now you see, this man wanted to know what he could do to inherit eternal life. And the Logos comes from the mouth of Jesus and tells him, this is what you've got to do. So he receives the seed, he looks at it, he ponders it, and he says, no, I don't understand that. For the thing that was spoke was not perceived. But yet there was another rich young ruler called Moses. And he was willing to suffer the reproach for Christ. An understanding. So something is grasped. But this rich young ruler, instead of waiting, Lord, help me, please, help me to understand, help me to comprehend. He just turns away. The Logos then is choked out of his life. And he goes and he becomes more free living. You notice a lot of folks that get away from the message. I got a communication from someone just a week or so ago that had turned away from the message. And they was talking about how much better of a Christian they were and how much more they was in love of God and this and that and the other. I thought, don't surprise me. Deceived. You can be a better Christian going to a Presbyterian church after you've known this message?
No.
Something wrong somewhere. But to him that understandeth, the perception with the thing perceived is set and joined together. Now there's probably some here today, if Jesus told you, get rid of your car, get rid of your house, live in a single wide trailer, hitchhike to church, you'd say, there ain't no way. If that's what he requires, I'll never do it. Some of you'd say, that's fine, sir. If that's what you want me to do, I'll stand on the side of the road. Me and my wife will hitchhike to church. Because I know you're always right. Maybe this house is bothering me. Maybe this car. Maybe all this money is bothering me. I don't understand exactly why it's all about. But the thing perceived has struck my heart. And I'll do it, Lord. You love him. Now, I know I've left you hanging tonight. I've only brought one side of the story, but I texted a preacher yesterday and I told him, I said, you know, it's amazing to me that preachers can read quotes and preachers can read scriptures, but a lot of preachers can't read a watch. That's one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard in my life. And the same prophet told us that you can only endure so much and be able to take in so much. Some people fill up short, some people fill up long. So I guess if you want to know part two, you'll have to come back. Oh my, don't you appreciate him?
Yes,
hallelujah. I think I got to just give you maybe a little bit here to kind of whet your appetite. Jesus wasn't the only one to speak Rhema. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Logos of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And in verse 25, he says, but the word Rhema of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Rhema by which the gospel is preached unto you. Don't you understand why Brother Bam said the gospel is not the word? The gospel is the word in demonstration and in power. The word is what? Logos. So we're born again by Logos, brought to us through the channel of Rhema, which quickens that word and makes it alive. Oh, glory. Don't you appreciate that? Let's sing it together, Harry. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, the Bible says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Now you'd never think it, but that word nothing is Rhema. For with God, Rhema, Rhema. So the literal interpretation of the verse is every Rhema of God has the power to bring it to pass. Do you understand? You can take this and quote it over and over again. By his stripes I'm healed. 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 And die with a sickness or a disease, quoting the Logos. But if God ever gives you a rhema word, it don't make no difference what the doctors say. They can say you're eat up, cat scan, you know, every other kind of scan they've got, there ain't no way. And Brother Bam said you'd walk out of that doctor's office and laugh in his face. Why? Because God gave you a rhema word. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's sing it together.
Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. He's so wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sin of my past have been all forgiven. And I know my name's inscribed in the book of heaven. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus says to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, my God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. He's wonderful. Wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, my God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way. Holy sweet communion, what a change grace hath wrought in my lowly station. Since my soul has received full and free salvation. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, I love that man from Galilee, for he's done so very much for me. He forgave me of my sin,
place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. He forgave me all my sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. In the manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe was born to save men from their sin. John saw him on the shore, that lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified on Calvary. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The lame was made to walk. The dumb was made to talk. That power was spoken with love upon the sea. The blind was made to see. I know it could only be the mercy of that man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins. Place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. The woman at the well, he all her sins did tell. How five husbands she had at that.
Oh, hallelujah!
She was forgiven of every sin, and deep peace came within. She cried, "Come see that man from
Galilee."
Sing it again. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. spirit that intrudes, Lord God. Bless your holy name, Lord. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, church, let's worship Him. He's worthy. Aren't you glad you know Him in Rhema power? Thank you, Lord. How are we going to take the rapture? Not just by Logos. The rapture is a revelation. God making and quickening that Logos to you, that it's a part of who you are. The root in yourself. Your house built on the rock. Amen. But it cannot happen without you. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise His holy name. Praise His holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you tonight, Lord. You're worthy. Can we just raise our hands and give Him a wave offering tonight? Let's just count it what an honor and privilege it is. As Gentiles, we couldn't even approach Him. And here we are tonight, not in the outer court, but in the holiest of holies. We've been invited in the presence of the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we love you tonight, Father. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We adore you, Lord God. We magnify your name. You are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. You are worthy, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you tonight, Lord, for your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Brother Joel Yance, maybe you can come sing a song for us, brother. Let's just worship Him together. Still early yet. Let's just worship Him together. Hallelujah, Father, we love you. We love you tonight, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We magnify your name, Lord. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you together, Lord Jesus. We magnify you, for you are worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord
Jesus. Draw me close.
Yes, Lord God.
Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world,
yes, Lord,
around me.
O Lamb of God.
As you get ready to go tonight, just lead me, Lord. I'll follow anywhere you'll open up the door.
Lead me, Lord. I'll follow anywhere.